closer in Baltimore. Will we have a new closer for the Rays? Let's discuss on Fantasy Baseball Today. Adam Acer, Scott White, Al Melchior. Here we go. It is Friday, May 16th. Happy Friday, Scott, now.
Hola.
Happy Friday. Right back at you.
All right, let's get
Miami
excited.
Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah.
We're in here. Yeah.
You know, Friday's kind of like sports day in the office. People wear jerseys.
Yeah, I thought
you're
about
one right now, sort of.
It's a shirt.
I thought about wearing my Freddie Freeman jersey tee today, but then there's always the dilemma of, you know, I got to wear a button up on the show, and like, what do I do about the undershirt?
You change the shirt.
Yeah, but that seems like such a hassle just to wear a Freddie Freeman jersey tee.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm not
like,
wrong about this.
Because I'm like a 10 on the lazyometer, because you see, I just come in the button-down shirt every day.
You're smart. You're 10 on the smartometer. You don't have to change midday.
No.
So anyway, we welcome you. John Heyman's going to join us on the video show at noon Eastern time. I have a vow that you guys have to take. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to hear what the vow is
first. Repeat after me. I state your name.
I state your name.
Scott, come on.
Al Melchior.
I, Scott, what
do you say? I don't get to hear this
just
first.
Just say, I All promise. Right. Not bad.
I... Scott White.
Solemnly swear.
Solemnly swear.
Al.
Swear with some solemnity.
To get through the show notes.
Oh, to get through the show notes.
To get through the show notes.
At a relatively fast pace.
At a relatively fast pace.
At an absolutely fast pace. I'm going to out.
So we have time for emails.
So we have time for the emails.
And now I've just wasted time with the vow. So I want to make sure we get to emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I've been neglecting you all. So let's start the show. We'll do some week 8 help. We'll look at 2-star pitchers. Cueto, Salazar, buy low, sell high. Stat of the day, number 1, Johnny Cueto, the first major league pitcher to go at least 7 innings and give up 2 or fewer runs in each of his first 9 starts since 1909 when Harry Krause did it for the Philadelphia A's. That's according to the Elias Sports Bureau. Johnny Cueto is good. 4-2, 1.25 ERA, 18 walks, 76 strikeouts in 72 innings, 0.7 whip. The walk rate a little bit lower than usual, but his K rate through the roof. And he's the number one starting pitcher in fantasy by a good margin over Tanaka. Who would you rather own, Tanaka or Cueto?
I would rather own Tanaka.
Yeah, I have to agree, but I do need to move Cueto up.
Today is sort of buy low, sell high day. Do you think we should sell high on Johnny Cueto? And I think injury history should at least be considered.
Yeah, that's the main reason. And then there's the reason where did the strikeouts come from? Because those were, I mean, he's always been a good pitcher, but those were the two drawbacks in previous years.
ESPN.com had an article on him this morning or last night, said his using his cutter a lot, which he started doing last year. And he's actually getting a lot of swings and misses with the cutter.
That happens a lot. Yeah.
And I think they said it was making his changeup better as well.
Well,
so could be an explanation, Scott.
That could be an explanation indeed. I don't know about sell high. I mean, it's one of those situations where I think he's like 15th or 16th in my starting pitcher rankings, and the pitchers ahead of him, I mean, they're like Zach Greinke, Madison Bumgarner, David Price.
Right.
Like ones you can trust 100%. So, I mean, he's in that same category. I don't feel like I can elevate him above them, but I don't really feel like he's that far behind them either. So, I'm not sure that you're accomplishing that much by trading him now, and it might just be something you kick yourself for later.
Okay. Email of the day number 1 is from Tyler Hansen from Madison, Wisconsin. Can you do the annoyometer? The annoyometer. That's what we settled on, Al.
If you want to say it that way, go ahead.
The annoyometer or the annoyometer for power hitters that will hit 30 home runs but will bat in the low 200s every year. The example Tyler gives is Dan Uggla. I think we should probably go with more like Pedro Alvarez or Adam Dunn. I don't think Uggla's going to hit 30 home runs. I can never determine if it's worth starting them, as they crazily bring down my batting average, yet they have potential to get me RBIs and home runs. So annoying! Yeah, that's a 10 on the annoyometer.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew what you were getting yourself into. So what do you guys think about, I guess, Alvarez would be the best example,
he,
right?
Yeah, he would because, and you know, I have to kind of investigate. Maybe it's just, I think it's probably just the position because I find Adam Dunn really annoying. I never draft him Haven't had him on a team in years. But yeah, no, I'm good with Alvarez. And yeah, I think it just must be the difference in the position, and that's only in Roto.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, if I've got Alvarez in a points league, which actually I did last year, but I think I started him twice all year. Yeah, that's not a great thing.
I gave these players, remember Mark Trumbo, I gave them a name this offseason.
Fantasy Albatross.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. They're very annoying.
That should be a
segment.
Don't
even want them. If I can help it.
I think if you have just one of those guys on your team, you should be okay. You just have to make sure you don't have another RBI a batting average stinker on your squad.
Yeah, I'll admit I did draft Trumbo in a Roto League this year, one where I think I got Ellsbury in the first round, so I knew I needed to make up power somehow, but right. It's not ideal.
And I have Adam Dunn on my bench in a Roto League, and if he hits like two home runs over a weekend, I might throw him in the lineup, although it seems like he's sitting for lefties now for Canerco. So he might be totally worthless, but at the end of the day, 30 home runs is still pretty good. And
I'd probably start him. If part of the annoyance is debating whether or not to start them every week, I think you just start them every week.
I don't know. I'm not there with Dunn because he hits his home runs in bunches.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was thinking
Pedro
more
Alvarez.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, tweet of the day number one is from Martin Jr. Despite the guidance of Wilson Phillips, it might be time to let Danny Salazar go. And then Martin, of course, gave us a YouTube link to the best Guilty Pleasure song of all time, Hold On by Wilson Phillips. So would you hold on for one more day,
Al? It's guilty.
Oh, yeah. It's great. Come on.
No.
It's so fun. It's so fun. If I could make that the intro music to this podcast, our ratings would skyrocket.
Can you sing it for me?
Someday somebody's going to make you want to turn around. Come on, really? Hold on for one more day.
This is the first time I've heard of Wilson Phillips, and if you'd mentioned him to me, I would have assumed you had just mispronounced Wade Phillips.
Are you thinking this is a guy?
Well, that's a parent.
I am thinking that.
You're incorrect.
He's Bum Phillips' crack kid.
This is a trio of females with a hilarious video.
All right, now that I imagine women singing it, it does sound a little more familiar.
Okay, Al. Drop or hold Danny Salazar, who gave up two runs in four innings and two homers at Toronto.
Still holding. I am dropping Wilson Phillips, though. But, this is an ugly start, an ugly matchup for Salazar. And it's unfortunate because I had bigger hopes for Salazar than him just being a matchups guy. But for now, he is. You don't want to start him at places like Rogers Center against good power-hitting teams like the Blue Jays.
Hey, everyone. Check out the video we did yesterday on Fantasy Baseball Today about year two pitchers, or technically guys who were rookies last year. For example, Tony Cingrani, this is technically his third year, but he was a rookie last year. So check out our segment. We talked about the overall frustration, I'd say, with some of the year two pitchers. All right, let's talk about Thursday standouts. Zach Britton got a save for Baltimore. He's got a 0.81 ERA. I dropped Darren O'Day this morning for Zach Britton, largely because O'Day pitched like the sixth inning yesterday.
Sixth and seventh.
So Britton got the save. He's been good. He faced two righties. He's a lefty. Is he the best bet right now?
Yeah, I think he is. I think how Showalter used them in his comments after the game, it further indicates to me that he really wants to avoid putting O'Day in the ninth inning and would like to find somebody else that he can trust there. And Britton's, I don't think Britton's as good. His strikeout rate isn't great. His walk rate isn't great. The CRA might be kind of fluky, but he's gotten the job done so far. And I think as long as he continues to, he'll continue to get safe chances.
Hey, hats off to Mark Weber yesterday, who had the tweet of the day when we read it on the show. How about Zach Britton for saves? Good call. I just want to throw that out there. Would you guys rather have
Keep your hat on for me, who replied to him and said, I don't think it's very likely.
Zach Britton or Sean Doolittle?
Zach Britton.
I'm kind of thinking Doolittle. I've convinced myself he's taking over in Oakland, and when he does, he could be an awesome closer.
You are still listening to Wilson Phillips in your head. Because dancing around.
I'm just trying to remember the vow, because I've been very slow so far. Juan Francisco homered again. He's 49% owned. Would you drop Pablo Sandoval or Brett Laurie for Juan Francisco?
No and no.
No.
Jacob DeGrom was very good yesterday. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks against the Yankees, his major league debut. He gets the Dodgers next week.
Not buying it. No. Not buying it. His minor league ratios for his career, 9.3 hits per innings, 7.4 Ks per 9 innings. I don't consider those to be good, particularly at the minor league level. I will say they're better than what Dallas Keuchel did in the minors, so that all that he's forever going to throw a wrench in that equation. But generally speaking, I would not trust a minor leaguer with those ratios.
Plus, DeGrom is only a Dylan G placeholder for now. So
all that true, yeah.
You don't want to drop anybody with lasting effect or, I don't know, staying power. There we go. On your team. All right.
I know this is going to hold up. You was going to get rid of like 3 emails right here. But
no,
it's all good. I'll do this quick. But just Britton, while you were talking about DeGrom there, I wanted to check on the ground ball rate because in my own head I was thinking he's got sort of Ziegler-like appeal. 84% ground ball rate so far this year. That's nutty.
Not sustainable, right?
Not sustainable. So he regresses to, you know, 65%, which is still awesome.
By the way, we're going to talk about Britton probably with John Heyman, and I said that because I don't know if you guys watch the show out there, but if you do, we have a graphic in the top segment with the 5 major storylines. And if we don't use Great Britain as the headline today, I said this is going to be my last show. So everybody watch
today. What is with you in the snappy headlines?
Come on, they're fun. They're fun.
I don't know that they're that fun.
Great Britain. It's hilarious. Yeah. All right, let's do this. It's time for me to potentially eat some crow. Let's talk about Phil Hughes. 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, no walks, 8 Ks against Boston. 3.61 ERA, his last 4 starts, 3-0, 1.37 ERA. Decent amount of strikeouts, and what's really impressive, his last 4 starts have come against Detroit, Baltimore, at Detroit, and home again against Boston. Only 4 home runs allowed in 8 starts this season. All right, you know what, Al? The floor is yours. Phil Hughes, you buying it? He's owned in 48% of leagues.
I am buying it. I was genuinely disappointed that I got outbid for him in 15-team mixed tout wars last weekend.
Scott, are you buying it?
Yeah, I think I am. It was a pretty on Fantasy Baseball Today, I think maybe a week or two ago, we did a leaderboards on strike rate.
Mm-hmm.
And Hughes was far and away the leader in all of baseball. And this start, he threw 76.3% strikes. So that rate's got even higher.
I'll look up his foul balls while Scott's talking.
Yeah. Okay, because they're usually high.
Yeah, he's the worst. He can't put people away ever. And I saw there was a 13-pitch at bat yesterday, I think.
That's the downside. Like he hasn't been a good strikeout pitcher, and I don't think he's going to be. So I'm not sure how far ahead he is of like the Bronson Arroyo. There's like a group of pitchers there in my rankings. I can't think of all of them, but like the Mark Burley, Bronson Arroyo class of starting pitcher. I'm not sure how far ahead he is of them, and they strike me as fringy in standard mixed leagues. So
Mike Leake.
Yeah, Travis Wood. He's the third one. Yeah. He is a little ahead of them now for me, but I'm not calling him must own or anything.
Okay, I'll still put it out there that I refuse to buy into him. So
yeah, I'm not sure.
Although I will start him next week at San Diego.
Yeah, that's a goodie. Although it's not going to be the best place for him because, as I've brought up a bunch of times, the whole lefty thing there.
The place, that team is terrible. They cannot hit a lick. They are
Seth Smith single-handedly.
They are the worst lineup. They've got to be like one of the worst lineups right now in the history of time. Exaggeration, for sure. So let me take that back. But they are a terrible lineup.
You asked about the foul balls. They're ridiculous for Hughes. I'm on Baseball Reference right now. The average MLB pitcher gets fouls on 27% of his strikes thrown. Now, remember, Hughes throws a ridiculous number of strikes in the first place, and out of those strikes, he has a 35% rate as compared to the 27% norm.
Yeah, and that always boosts his pitch count,
yeah.
And it always leads to, well, not always, but it often leads to big innings with him, and he doesn't go deep into games, so But you know what? It's hard to deny it. He's been really good, and the theory was get out of Yankee Stadium. He had a 3.88 ERA on the road last year. Wasn't so good the 2 years prior, but get out of Yankee Stadium, get rid of the home runs, and he could be successful, and right now it's happening. Matt Cain. Any concerns about him? I thought this was interesting. Seven starts so far this year. Let's look at him compared to seven starts last year. This year, 1-3. Last year, 1-2. This year, 4.33 ERA. Last year, 5.57 ERA. So even worse. This year, 17 walks. Last year, 13 walks. Same amount of strikeouts, 36. This year, 7 home runs. Last year, 9 home runs. So Matt Cain was slightly worse last year than he is so far this year through 7 starts. Only difference is 4 more walks this season. But do you guys think he turns it around? Kills it?
Yeah, I mean, this was about the time he got back on track last year and was basically Matt Cain the rest of the way. Low 3 ERA, low whip. So I know that there was some mention of him dealing with some mechanical issues right now, which pitchers of his caliber usually overcome. And this start itself, he gave up 4 runs, but I think it was in the first 2 innings. So first 3 innings.
Yeah.
So he really settled down, and I still consider him a must-start going forward.
Okay, then. Grant Balfour, who's worried about him losing his job?
I'm getting there. I'm a little worried.
Yeah, just a little.
He's been very wild.
Yeah, you know, he started pitching better when he had that two-save day, and that doubleheader at Boston. But, yeah, struggled last night. And overall, his ERA is 6.46.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they have. I don't know they're going to go to McGee, though. And Peralta doesn't seem like a great option.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, it's going pretty deep into the bullpen. But the one who I feel like if this goes on long enough, they give him a chance to get into higher leverage roles would be Brad Boxberger.
But who gave up the 3-run homer last night? 2 of the runs were charged.
He's not been consistent.
To Balfour, but
yeah,
it was a Trout home
run. I guess, yeah, that just kind of fleshes out the picture that there's not great alternatives.
And I'll add, too, that Fernando Rodney was kind of shaky at the beginning of last season, too, and they stuck with him. But Balfour, he failed that physical in Baltimore, and we never really got a good explanation for why. I don't know that it's unreasonable to think there might be some kind of injury situation going on here because, I mean, it's been really bad. 14 walks and 15 in the third innings, I think. Like, that's just terrible by anybody's standard.
Okay, so if there's one guy to put on your radar, it is Peralta?
I would put Peralta on my radar, but I'm worried, but it's like well beyond like the Baltimore situation or the Oakland situation. I mean, you're going really deep, I think, if you're picking up prospective closers for Tampa Bay.
Do you guys agree that Jake McGee is the best pitcher that's not Balfour?
Yeah.
He's a lefty, so I don't know.
Right.
He's better than Peralta.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Nobody's really on my radar, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, Scott, Ricky Weeks. We talked about him, I think last week. He mm-hmm. homered yesterday. He's starting more. He's on a 6% of leagues.
13 for 20 in May.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is a trade showcase.
I don't know. I don't see how they don't start playing him more. He started 4 of the last 5 games, and 1 was against a right-hander, but since 3 were against left-handers, I don't know that we can make much of that. That's who he was supposed to be starting against all along.
Right.
But I think he's better than Scooter Jeanette. And whether or not they want to trade him, I think they need to capitalize on this hot streak. So it'd have to be a pretty deep league, as deep as second base is, for you to put in a claim for maybe eventual everyday player. But he needs to be back on the radar, I think, in fantasy.
He's 6% owned. Would you rather have Colton Wong or Ricky Weeks?
I'd rather have Colton Wong. Just because, I'm sure he will be getting the regular playing time, and Weeks, it's more speculative.
Are you sure? I mean, is Ellis? Because Ellis is, he stinks, but I don't know that we're sure about Wong's playing time. I would rather have Wong,
I'm more
too.
Sure. I'm more sure.
Okay, that's fair.
For the record, Wong did not play yesterday. He had a stomach virus. Okay, let's do a little buy low, sell high. Al, I hate to rush you on this, but I'm rushing you. You have three buy lows. And now Scott didn't do this because I forgot to remind him. So don't be mad at him. Be mad at me.
I'm mad at myself.
No, it's my bad. Buy low on Jose Reyes, Brian McCann, and Francisco Liriano.
Yeah. Reyes, basically, it's just the batting average that's missing. Hitting with more power than one would be accustomed to, but hitting really low average on ground balls. And for a fast guy, he's not, you know, he's stealing bases and doing it efficiently. So it's not like he's, you know, too slow to get infield hits. So the batting average looks poised to rise and everything else is in place for him.
McCann,
yeah, not as many good signs for him, but also just not as far off the pace. You're not, at this point in his career, I don't think you can rightfully expect a high batting average for McCann. So as long as the power is somewhere in the neighborhood of what you expect from him, you know, I think he's going to be fine in the long run, and yet his overall numbers right now just don't look that good.
Liriano, good start in his last one.
Yeah. So maybe,
and Al had this before Liriano's last
Yeah, one. Yeah. And also, yeah, and I took that from a column that should be going up today that I started before, the good start from Liriano. So,
nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe he's less of a buy low after that start. But he's the same pitcher he was a year ago. It just, you know, doesn't look that way in the ERA. But he had the control issues last year, too, even when he was, you know, striking guys out and had a decent ERA. All the peripherals are the meaningful ones are the same.
Scott, do you disagree with any of these buy lows? Reyes, McCann, Liriano.
Liriano, I don't trust to bounce back to the same extent because... Yeah, I mean, the peripherals are similar to last year, but I got the sense he kind of overachieved the peripherals last season. That was kind of a concern of mine coming in where, okay, yeah, he managed to pitch well in spite of the walks and the high whip last year, but can he do it again? And given the inconsistency throughout his career, yeah, I'm not... Look, if somebody dropped him, I'd pick him up, but I'm not buying low on him.
All right, and then Al's sell-high candidates are Mark Burley. I don't think we're going to have any disagreement there. Shelby Miller.
Ooh.
And Carlos Gomez. And I do respect the Shelby Miller one because I do think there's enough name value there to sell.
And I worry that maybe, you know, the longer that you waited to try to trade Shelby Miller, then the less you'll get. So,
but I still think he could turn it around, Al, do you?
Yeah, no, I think there's a chance, but if you can cash in on that name value or cash in on the one lost record in the ERA,
right,
and people aren't paying attention to the whip and all the yucky things that are underlying that.
Yeah,
that's a sabermetric term, by the way, yucky. So
that's why I don't trust these stats.
Yeah.
So subjective.
Yeah. So, you know, if you can cash in on that, you know, I think you'll get better value than Miller will give you rest of season. Yeah. Burley, I feel like, is an obvious one. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, such a long, consistent track record that he's achieving beyond at this point. Gomez, I think we talked about a day or two ago, which is just, no, he's really good. I agree with Scott. You know, he's just falls a little short of what I would call an elite outfielder, particularly for Roto, but he's still overachieving in a pretty wacky way. And I've seen enough emails and tweets of people saying, why don't you have him as a, you know, top five, top 10 outfielder? And, you know, I think if you can get that kind of value in return for Gomez, you should.
I think that's a legit question. You look at what he did before the injury last year, he was probably a top five outfielder. Is that fair?
I think he probably was. Memory serves.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his prime. He was a hot prospect. Wasn't he part of the Johan Santana trade? So,
yeah.
I know you guys don't like the walk to strikeouts, that specifically the high strikeout rate. Aren't there some hitters that can get away with that, though?
They can, but just not to this degree.
But even if he bats,
it's a little higher. Like, Carlos Gomez, he's been a high strikeout guy, but the strikeout rate this year is, like, beyond even his norm, which
maybe it'll come down.
Yeah, that's kind of the point I was making. Like, I agree with Al that he's a sell high, but
like in the
at
Cueto
the same
sense?
Time, like I don't think I'm as down on him as Al is. Yeah, like in the Cueto sense.
Uh-huh.
Like like he's not a top five. Okay, I agree with Al that he's not a top five. Maybe that's a better way to put it. I agree he's not a top five outfielder, but I kind of get what you're saying too, Adam, where there's not really that much separating from him from the top five outfielders. You just, I'd rather have Jose Bautista. I'd rather have Giancarlo Stanton. I'd rather have Cargo. I'd rather have Jacoby Ellsbury. So I think Gomez comes out 11th in my rankings, but that's more about who else there is than Gomez himself.
Tell me why you'd rather have Jacoby Ellsbury.
Because when he's healthy, I mean, even when the years when the power isn't there, he's just always like one of the best outfielders in fantasy. Like, I wouldn't imagine it just by looking at his numbers, but they always add up to that. So I'm not going to dispute that that's how good he is.
Right. But I feel like Carlos Gomez is the same. I mean, okay, let's compare them. Who's going to have a better batting average? Ellsbury, right?
Yeah, and by enough that it's going to override the deficit in power.
You think so? I think that...
I'll go with what Scott just said. When you look at the results the last couple of years, when Gomez has been very good, Ellsbury's been better. So
yeah, last year in particular, like it wasn't even... I'm thinking more from the head-to-head perspective than Roto, which maybe is a mistake.
No, that's a big discrepancy here. I get that. Yeah. But in Roto, I'm thinking the power steals combo is better for Gomez. But the batting average better for Ellsbury, and the runs I would assume would be pretty similar since they're both batting leadoff in good lineups.
Well, I mean,
Ellsbury might be batting third now.
Yeah, they're close. I think I have Ellsbury 9th and Gomez 11th, so it's like...
Okay.
I mean, maybe the batting... Gomez's power does cancel out the advantage Ellsbury has in batting average, but Ellsbury, I just think, is a little more trustworthy, so if they're even anyway, I'll take him. But it's like... I don't know. Like, if I had Gomez and somebody offered me Ellsbury straight up for him, it's not something I'd automatically do.
I gotcha. They're
close enough to me that I might just... pass on it.
And I'm looking last year at the Roto value end of season. I thought Ellsbury finished higher. Gomez did finish higher two spots in the rankings. But I'll actually be surprised if he hits 284 again this year. So
okay.
I think in Roto it's at worst a draw.
All right then. Let's we'll pick it up here with some more sell high candidates. I want to know if you guys think they're sell high guys or if they're legit, and you should roster them all year. Start them all year, let's say that. Starlin Castro is 24 years old. He's still a young guy. He's not stealing any bases, but he hit his sixth home run yesterday, batting .291, and career high in slugging right now at .475. Sell high or...
He's back.
Okay.
He's back.
Now I got such a short, shallow position, so...
Yeah, and I still only rank him 9th there, but I think that just kind of shows he was overrated before.
Right, because, you know, I certainly expected the steals to continue for him. So in every other regard, he absolutely is back, but he's not where I thought he would have been, you know, going into last season because I saw him as a power average steals guy.
Michael Morse went 3-for-4 with a home run yesterday. He's homered in two straight games. He's a top 18 outfielder, 18th in points, 13th in Roto, and he's got 10 home runs and 28 RBI. I'll lump him in with Nelson Cruz, who's my next guy. When they're healthy, they produce. Cruz is just killing it right now. But do you sell high on these guys fearing the injury?
I mean, I guess it's worth looking into. Like, if somebody... Like, I think I'd trade either for... who's a good example?
Jay Bruce.
Yeah, I guess I think I probably would if I felt like I had the depth to survive until Bruce came back. I was also thinking Alan Craig, but I know in Roto Leagues, the power discrepancy there might have some say because Craig, even when he's healthy, he's not going to give you, even when he's performing well, he's not going to give you the big power numbers. So I don't know. It's a situation where I think if I owned either, I wouldn't be actively looking to move them, but I know that's partially because the kind of people I play with aren't going to be overvaluing them, maybe like the average person would.
Right.
So it's something to look into. I would look at where I have them ranked and the outfielders I have ranked ahead of them and try to work something out based on that.
But these are not fluky occurrences here. These guys
legit power.
Okay.
And I feel really dumb for doubting Morse's ability to hit for power at AT&T because he
– Yeah, he could hit it out of the polo grounds, the deep part of the polo grounds.
Nice
I'm
reference.
Assuming part of the polo grounds is probably really shallow. The dimensions in fields back in the day were crazy. I'm going to look up the dimensions of the polo grounds. I mean. Injuries, news, and notes. Kevin Gossman was sent down. Drop or hold?
Hold. Yeah, I'm saying that haltingly because depends who you might need for that spot. But
if Dallas Keuchel's out there.
I drop him for Keuchel.
I think I'm holding.
How about Phil Hughes?
I'm definitely holding there.
Yeah, I probably would hold there.
All right, Dustin McGowan's out of the Serrano rotation, so Marcus Stroman and Todd Redman are the candidates to replace him. Carlos Beltran on the DL with the bone spur in his elbow. He might need surgery, which would sideline him 6 to 8 weeks or possibly longer. Martin Perez will have Tommy John. Jose Fernandez will have Tommy John surgery, and Anthony DeSclafani will remain in the rotation for now. Ben Zobrist is on the DL with a dislocated thumb. He slid head first into second base.
What a dork.
They should just, everybody should wear those big oven mitts.
Everybody should slide feet first.
It's so much easier to avoid a tag, I think, head first. I get it.
I don't know that I agree with that.
I feel like you have more body control.
I mean, I think if you practice a certain way, you'll be better at it either way you go.
Okay, I could buy that.
Yeah, plus I think the oven mitts will slow you down.
Colby Rasmus is on the DL with a hamstring injury. Anthony Gost, Kevin Pillar will platoon. Travis d'Arnaud on the 7-day DL with a concussion. CJ Krohn, he nearly hit a two-run homer last night. Desmond Jennings took one away. I think it was over the wall. I think it was going out. So that's cool. Oakland acquired Kyle Blanks from San Diego for Jake Gobert?
You're on your own here.
Goebert? Where's Herc when you need him? And a player to be named later. What's the impact of this trade?
I think the impact is less on Brandon Moss, who has hit well against left-handers this season, than Josh Reddick. I know there was a report Blanks would platoon at first base. But remember, Moss can play right field himself. So that's what I'm hoping, anyway, it means, because Reddick is giving the A's nothing, and Moss is giving them lots.
There was a report that it was going to be the Moss platoon.
I just saw first base, so
right.
Maybe. Okay, if they said Moss, then original report was first base, and somebody assumed Moss.
That could be.
But, you know, maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part. Either way, I'm not downgrading Moss just yet. I got to see how this goes.
Okay, fair enough. Tim Hudson's going to miss his next start due to a strained hip. Yusmeiro Petit will replace him. Cole Calhoun will begin a rehab assignment today. He could be back Tuesday. What do you think about him? Would you rather have Ozuna or Cole Calhoun?
Cole Calhoun.
Me too.
Chris Davis or Cole Calhoun?
Calhoun.
All right, Calhoun.
Shane Victorino out with a knee injury yesterday. Could be back today. Minnesota told Aaron Hicks, hey, buddy, be more professional and do more homework. And he had a walk-off single yesterday, so good for him. Matt Latos is expected back in early June. Mike Trout, 3-run walk-off homer against Tampa Bay yesterday. Josh Hamilton expected to begin a rehab assignment in about a week. Starling Marte is still out with the back injury, but he has been pinch hitting, so that probably means he won't need the DL. Willian Rosario could be back early next week, and Chris Tillman will start today at Kansas City for Baltimore. All right, three up, three down, rotation, fringy starting pitchers. We only have two up. Number one is Asdrubal Cabrera. He is 16 for his last 32 with 2 home runs, 5 RBI, and 5 doubles. Would you rather have Asdrubal Cabrera or J.J. Hardy?
I'd actually rather have Hardy, even though he's given you nothing this year. But this is a nice little hot streak from Cabrera, but he's also given you very little in the last couple of seasons. I think Hardy will turn it around.
Asdrubal Cabrera or Jahani Peralta?
Jahani.
Jahani. They're in the same tier for me. I think they're Hardy, Peralta, Cabrera in my rankings, and I would be okay going with the hot hand in leagues shallow enough where you could like pick up Cabrera.
Oh God, why is it so hard to find dimensions of the? Oh, I got it. Polo ground dimensions. You ready?
Sure.
455 feet to center field.
Never hitting a home run,
but 277 down the left field line and 258 down the right field.
Hitting a lot of home runs.
I mean, these stadiums were just crazy. I don't know if that's the first Polo Ground. Like, they renovated it. Whatever.
That would be, like, the hitting coach was, like, trying to create pull hitters. Like, that was the goal.
Yeah. It's
don't hit it back up the middle.
Stadiums were crazy.
It'd be fun to see Giancarlo Stanton hit one out to deep center there.
The deep center, yeah. To pop out to deep left, though, for a home run. Edwin Encarnacion homered twice, and he doubled. He's hit six home runs since May 6th, but only one walk in his last 11 games. Any thoughts on Encarnacion right now?
Come on.
Yeah. He's fine.
Don't be a negative Nancy.
Oh, come on. I love him. I have him on two or three teams, and I'm loving it. Sometimes I hear the peripherals word.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe I'd bring it up with a guy who usually has a great walk to strikeout ratio.
He's too busy hitting home runs.
Yeah.
He can't walk.
No time to walk.
He is the man. Three down, Joey Votto. 257 on the year, but 182 in his last 16 games with two home runs. Who's worried about Joseph Votto?
Actually, not. Not. Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of power there. Just looks like a bad slump, and that is bringing down those overall numbers.
28 home runs. 28 and a half, over under.
Under.
Yeah, under.
25
and a half. Not by much. 25 and a half. I'll say he hits 26 home runs this year, so that's over.
I'll say hits 25.
Okay. Jed Jerko, 1-for-17 since his two home run game with one walk, five strikeouts. Gulp.
Yeah, it's hard to reconcile this with what he did last season. So.
Still think he's going to come around?
At some point, but I moved him down in the rankings again yesterday behind the Neil Walkers and Howie Kendricks and who else is there? Jed Lowry's of the world. Yeah.
In points and roto?
In both, yeah.
It's too bad because if I had any one of those players, I'd want to trade with you for your Jerko.
And Matt Holliday, is anybody worried about him? He's slugging 370.
No, not really.
Yeah, got off to sort of a slow start last year, too, and was Matt Holliday in the second half.
All right, let's look at the six-man rotation. All of these pitchers are owned in over 84% of leagues, or 84% or more. Jason Hamill. Hey, good call, Scott. He got roughed up by the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Just called it on the video show.
Yeah.
Yordano Ventura was really good yesterday. Nine strikeouts. Took the loss, though. Tough luck loss. He's got a 2.40 ERA.
2-3 record. He's a lot better than that, folks.
Yeah.
Don't lose faith.
Ian Kennedy, bad at Cincinnati, and 11 hits allowed in two of his last three starts. Yovani Gallardo gave up two home runs yesterday. Five home runs allowed in his last four starts. Still had a quality start, though. Nate Eovaldi has been, he was bad in really his last two starts now. So it's 9 2/3 innings, 16 hits, 8 earned runs, and 6 walks, 5 Ks over two starts at the Giants and at the Padres. And Tyson Ross walked 3 batters in the first inning and 2 more the rest of the game. 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 5 walks, 8 Ks at Cincinnati. And that ended a streak of 6 straight starts, issuing 2 walks or fewer for Tyson Ross. Any of these guys over-owned?
Let's see. Well, y'all think you have the number here for Gallardo, but that's 80 something, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
So I think he's definitely overowned. What's kind of funny is this morning while I was looking over numbers, and I wanted to, the thing I was always monitoring with Gallardo is how many swings and misses is he getting, because he's has one of the lowest rates in the majors. So he had a good number of strikeouts in the start. So I on my phone, I have all these browser windows open,
right?
And so I went to my brooksbaseball.net browser window, and it was on Yovani Gallardo's swinging strike page. So the last time I went there was looking up the exact same thing.
Obsession.
Last two starts a little better in that regard, but still not very good.
And they were bad starts overall. So
he's the only over-owned one here?
No, he's not. And I'm with Al on Gallardo, but Hamill is the most over-owned at 84%. If he was 48% owned, then maybe it would be appropriate. 84 is definitely way too high.
Okay,
I'm going to defend Hamill and myself here because after Scott made the correct call 2 days ago on the show, but a day early because of the rain out, I reversed it yesterday on the show and said I thought Hamill would be okay in the start. And in our defenses, he put 7 runners on, which is not bad at all. Only stranded 2 of them. So that's pretty, you know, I mean, if it were somebody who had a chronic issue with that, I'd say, okay, he's just an ERA albatross, to borrow your word, Scott. But I'm not so sure. Hamill's looking more like the guy he was 2 years ago, skill-wise, than the guy he was last year. So I agree he's overowned, but I'd say if we say 48%, I actually feel like he'd be a little underowned.
Travis Wood or Jason Hamill?
Actually, Hamill.
I go Wood, but kind of down on Wood.
Clay Buchholzer. Oh, it'd be nice to Travis. We just had a rough stretch here. He was good all last year.
I don't have to be nice to him. I don't.
Come on, it's Friday.
He's not. I don't know him personally.
Clay Buchholz.
Travis Wood Friday.
Clay Buchholz or Jason Hamill?
Buchholz.
Yeah, Buchholz, but I'm down on him too.
Let's look at the fringy starting pitchers. Clay Buchholz has given up so many hits this year. Back-to-back outings with 10 hits. Only 2 extra base hits yesterday. But quality start. Tyler Skaggs.
Whip over 2 and it's a quality start.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't a good start, but it was a quality start. The hard-throwing flamethrower, Tyler Skaggs. 6 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Phil Hughes.
This is going to become, you're going to become emotionally invested now.
I watched 5 innings of that game last night.
I saw
night.
People giving you a hard time on Twitter about the velocity thing. So now it's personal, right? It's like.
Yeah, it is. I mean, well, this is what I would say. If you guys watch Tyler Skaggs pitch, I don't think you would watch him and say he's a hard thrower. That's all I'm saying, because he throws fastballs. Brian Anderson, the Rays broadcaster, is one of my favorites. He's great. And he was saying that this Skaggs throws, I think he said 70% fastballs, and he throws a lot of fastballs. He did yesterday anyway. And so the Rays were trying to jump out and swing at the first pitch a lot, whatever. But 91, 91, 91, 91, 91.
He averaged 93 in that start.
There's no way. I mean, one of the speedometers is wrong.
Are you sure?
That's all I'm saying. Because he did touch 93.
Maybe you don't have a little selective memory
there?
No,
I swear, dude. He touched 93 once or twice. 92, I would say 4 or 5 times that I saw. I didn't see every pitch he threw. But most of his fastballs were 91 miles per hour on the Fox Sports radar gun.
By the way, I don't think they use a speedometer.
Yeah, radar.
That'd be pretty cool. A little gauge on the baseball, but no, they use a radar gun.
I don't know. I said speedometer.
I gotta look at the percentages that he threw each pitch, because there are different types of fastballs, and his four-seam fastball may well have averaged 93 miles per hour, but he may not have thrown
right,
it that
much. And that's 100% possible. And is that what you were saying? His four-seam fastball was 93?
Yes.
Well, then he was probably throwing his two-seamer more.
No, I think the two-seamer, I can look that up, but I'm almost positive that was 93 also.
There's no way. There's no way. Because this is 2 starts in a row that I've seen him, and he's throwing 91 consistently. So I understand that the stadium radar guns might not be right, but he'd strike out more guys if he was throwing 93, you know?
Not necessarily.
Not
look at Henderson Alvarez.
Thank you. Took the words out of my mouth.
But he's got this huge breaking ball. Henderson Alvarez is a sinker baller.
Okay. I mean, I am disappointed in the strikeouts for Skaggs, but I'm encouraged overall. And I know this wasn't his greatest start, and I think I predicted yesterday he'd win this game, and he didn't. So, you know, good for Hamill, bad for Skaggs, whatever. But I think, even if it's 91, which all the data says it isn't, but even if you're right, Adam, it's still a big improvement over what he was doing last year. And it shows, I think, that this step forward he's taken is legitimate.
Yeah, look, and that's the thing. I'm not down on him. This is a strictly velocity, what I'm seeing with my own 2 eyes when I watch Tyler Skaggs' argument as opposed to this data here. So if he were available in any of my leagues, I'd pick him up. I don't want to sound like I'm trashing Tyler Skaggs. He's owned in every league I'm in. But I'm just saying, this guy's not a fireballer who's blowing fastballs by people when I've seen him pitch. What do you got there?
Sinker, hope you're into the rounding up thing, because he averaged 92.97.
It's BS. I'm telling you, it's BS. It's just ridiculous. And I want an Angels fan to write in. All right, so who do you like best on that list? Buchholz, Skaggs, Hughes, Chen.
I like Skaggs the most.
I do, too. I do, too, and he gets the – I'm pretty sure he gets the Astros next. So there's your strikeouts.
Deep leagues, J-Hap, Bedard, Chase Whitley, Ricky Weeks. Let's skip the guys we talked about. Hap, Bedard, Whitley, Wandy, Eduardo Escobar. Anybody interest you?
Did you watch the Mets-Yankees game yesterday?
I did.
What was the deal with Whitley? Why did they take him out after 4 2/3 very good innings?
He was starting to struggle a little bit. They put two men on in that inning.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was on a pitch count limit. He'd been starting in the minors.
I think he threw 74 pitches. So, yeah, it was a little – did he get hurt?
I think they really wanted that win. And yeah. Dellin Betances retired 7 in a row, 6 of them on strikeouts, and he came in and was freaking brilliant. So he had two men on when they took him out, with David Wright coming up, and the games kind of seemed like it was hanging in the balance.
Well, it was an encouraging start. 4 base runners in 4 2/3, 4 strikeouts, similar to what he was doing in the minors, and he was a nobody coming into the season because he'd pitched mostly in relief in the minors. But he's, I'm not saying I'm picking him up except in AL only, but he's on my radar. If he has a good start next time out, might be worth looking into. I think he could keep the job over somebody like David Phelps.
I think you have Nuno, too.
Or Nuno, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's look at the bullpen here. Trevor Rosenthal, 1 2/3, scoreless. Came in a tough situation.
Yep. Well, yeah, walked Mike Ault to load the bases.
Oh, so he put himself in an even tougher situation.
Yeah.
And then he gave up a sac fly, but it wasn't charged to him. Mark Melancon entered the game with 1 walk issued all year, and walk 2 had just a terrible outing, blew his second save. So that didn't make my bold prediction look too good, but I'm chalking it up to just 1 weird, wild outing. John Axford and Cody Allen pitched 2/3 scoreless innings, but, I mean, that's a non-save situation. I think that if you and Brian Shaw, that looks good, right? Short term, anyway?
Yeah, sure what it means.
Or whatever. Okay. And Javis Familia and Henry Mejia each pitched last night in non-save situations. Glenn Perkins blew his second save of the season. I'll get to your guys' start-sit advice in a little bit. Let's try to blow through some emails here. John says, from Corpus Christi, Texas, is it time to move on from Bad Miller in a 14-team Roto League? Should I drop him for Colton Wong or John Singleton?
Oh, man.
I think 14-team, I probably draw the line there and say don't drop Bad Miller yet.
And he says, it's all about the U. Go Canes. Thank you, John. George D. from New York. I need to pick up a streamer this weekend. Hutchison versus Texas or Ubaldo against the Royals, at the Royals?
I like Ubaldo, actually. Last 3 starts, pretty good.
Yeah.
And a better matchup.
Yeah, matchup's the tiebreaker for me.
Mike from Detroit. Dear Scarecrow. Excuse me. Scarecrow, Joker, and Bane. Al?
No.
Oh, man.
You know I know.
The Batman villains.
Yeah. From the Christopher Nolan Batman. Yeah.
Please rank these starting pitchers rest of season in a head-to-head points league. Keuchel, Leake, Hughes, Arroyo, Erlen.
Keuchel, Leake, Hughes, Arroyo, Erlen. That was me repeating them, by the way. Yeah. Not ranking them. I'll go Keuchel, Hughes, Leake, Arroyo, Erlen. So almost the same order.
Keuchel, Hughes, Arroyo, Erlen, Leake.
Ben, the Giants fan in L.A., says, hello, Jose, Michael, Pierre, and Fritz. What's that?
I don't know. I want to know, but I don't.
It's got to be Giants related. 10-team head-to-head categories league, 7x7. Would you drop Nice or Gallardo for Keuchel? Or Harang? Oh, wait, different league. Sorry. So first, would you drop Nice or Gallardo for Keuchel?
I'm dropping Gallardo for Keuchel.
Ooh. I don't think I am. I think it's close, but I think I'd stand pat.
14-team head-to-head categories league. Would you drop Harang, Quintana, or Beckett for Keuchel?
Harang.
Me too.
And not the others.
Mike Barnes from Greenville, South Carolina, is in a 4 outfielder points league. I have Marcelo Zuna playing right field. I have Adam Eaton coming off the DL soon. George Springer's a free agent, so is Cole Calhoun. Which 2 would you want rest of season? Ozuna, Eaton, Springer, Calhoun.
Eaton and Springer. Calhoun just misses.
Yeah, same for me.
And would Gregory Polanco play right field when he's called up?
I would assume.
Yeah. Jeremy in Dallas, 12-team roto. Who would you rank? Who would you pick up as a DH rest of year? Chris Davis with a K, Jerko or LaRoche?
I think I'm going to go Chris Davis with a K.
Ooh, he would have been my last choice. I'm going LaRoche.
Clyde says, "Dear Inky, Blinky, and Pinky, I'm not blown away with David Wright this season. I'm looking for someone with some potential to pick up and let David know he has to earn his roster spot. Not much out there, but Juan Francisco is out there. I would have to drop either Beckett, Keuchel, Rafael Montero, or Alex Wood to pick up Juan Francisco and start him over Wright. What do you think?"
Did this email come from Ron Renicky? Pulling a Jeanette here?
No, it came from Terry Collins, who, if he had Juan Francisco, would probably start him over David Wright right now because he likes hot streaks.
Yeah, well, Wright's been pretty hot too.
Has he?
Yeah, he has. I mean, the power hasn't shown up yet, but he's started to turn things around. You don't sit Wright for anybody, especially not a platoon player. By the way, do you know Inky, Blinky, Pinky, and then the email is from Clyde? Inky?
No.
Those are the ghosts on Pac-Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well,
who's Clyde?
Clyde included.
Oh, how about that?
Great
yeah.
call.
Good. Yeah, that was awesome. And from Alex, who would you suggest I replace Chris Davis with in a 17 standard roto league? I need average and runs. And is Archie Bradley still stashable? Or should I drop him for John Singleton?
I would drop Bradley for Singleton.
And you can't drop Chris Davis in a 17-team
league. No, there's no way I'd do that.
Yeah,
got
no,
a lot of Chris
Davis I mean, I'm down on Chris Davis, but 17 teams is, you know, anybody getting regular bats, basically.
Yeah.
And who has some kind of power potential.
All right, we're at 52 minutes, so Scott, we'll go long today. Give us your hitting advice.
All right, I'll try to do it quickly.
Thank you.
Seems like the best matchups are all teams with six games instead of seven, which is kind of annoying, but as it stands, Yankees and Giants, I think, definitely have the best matchups. And then the Mariners, Padres, and Tigers are also pretty good. But for the Yankees specifically, I think that's good news for Mark Teixeira, who still started in less than 80% of leagues, even though I think between the power and the walk rate, he's basically back and as good as we've seen him in years. So I think he's must start, basically.
Yeah.
Brett Gardner, I also like a lot. We've mentioned him on a hot streak. They do have two games in an NL park, but last time they played there, it wasn't Gardner. I think Gardner started all three
with
games.
With Beltran out.
Yeah,
I
that's
can't,
true.
Yeah. He should play.
Yeah. So those two are good. Solarte, obviously, too, between second base, third base, shortstop, and outfield, you should be able to find a place for him to play. Probably shortstop or third base, but whatever. Sandoval's actually been heating it up recently, and three of their games are in Colorado. I mentioned they had second best matchups. So if you need a third baseman and Solarte's already gone, might be an okay time to start him. Headley, I could say the same thing about him. It's actually a pretty good week for third base sleepers. Some players I don't like much this week, and some teams I don't like much this week. Let's start with that, I guess. Texas, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Cincinnati, and Minnesota. And the thing about Minnesota is only five games. They're the only team playing only five games this week.
Sit your Twins!
All five games in the NL. So they lose the DH on top of it. Yasmil Pinto's started only two of the last six games as it is. I would not count on anything from him this week. I would not count on Chris Colabello this week.
You're only starting
anyway.
Dozier and Mauer, right? Or am I forgetting anyone?
You may start Plouffe.
Oh, yeah, Plouffe.
Forget yeah, him. You may. You don't have
He's
to.
Been really cold.
Yeah.
It's a doubles machine, though.
And a couple higher-end players I'm looking at sitting. Phillips, I mentioned the Reds had bad matchups. And even with the home run in one game yesterday, he just hasn't done much of anything this year. And Martin Prado, bad matchups for the Diamondbacks again against the Cardinals and Mets. Six righties they're facing. He's done nothing, especially against righties this year, hitting over 300 against lefties for what it's worth. But until he starts getting right, if you can afford to roster another player at the positions he plays, I think it's worth sitting in.
All right, then. More on that on the website. Check out the column, and we do a hitter segment on every Friday on the video show. So, Al, two-star pitchers. Starters at Yovani Gallardo at Atlanta and at Miami.
He just misses the cut for my startable pitchers. So, yep. So there's good options this week. Not, you know, huge numbers of two-star pitchers, but a lot of good ones that you may be able to pick up.
Ian Kennedy, this has got to be an Ian Kennedy week. Cubs and Twins at home.
He's in the must-start list. He's not even on the bubble list.
If he doesn't pitch well this week, with two of his last three being 11-hit outings, I'm going to be pretty ticked off. And I might start losing faith in Ian Kennedy.
Yeah.
Would you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, look, I guess gets those matchups. If he's not, you know, not good and has trouble throwing strikes, gives a bunch of home runs, yeah, then maybe I lose faith. But
another 11-hit game.
Yeah.
Isn't going to scare you away?
Nah.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Him or me?
With Al.
With Al? Okay. Yeah.
If he's with me, he's with Kennedy.
Danny Salazar, Detroit at home, Baltimore on the road. No way. No, he doesn't make the cut. Don't tell me he makes the cut.
All right, I won't tell you.
He made the cut?
Yeah, he made the bubble list, and he's on the lower half of it, which means that, you know, if there's somebody, you know, solid that you can get, you can pass him by. But, you know, look, there's always a handful of guys who are worth a flyer. Salazar's got that upside. So.
Salazar, I mean, we just said you got to play the matchups with him. At Baltimore is like at Toronto.
At Baltimore,
Detroit
is
really hot.
And Detroit's really hot. He gets them at home. So,
between
two starts, like I said, he's a lukewarm.
All right, you ready?
He's a lukewarm bubble guy.
You versus me. Gallardo versus Salazar.
You are on.
All right. All right, I'm a little worried about that at Miami start since we know how much they cheat. But Josh Beckett, we like.
Actually have him ranked right around the same place as Salazar, even though Beckett has much better matchups. But I like Salazar's upside better, so they're both on the bubble list.
Drew Pomerantz at Tampa Bay and at Toronto.
Yep. He's actually have him ranked just ahead of Beckett. So I'm a little distrustful of Pomerantz because we just haven't seen that much. So he's not a must start, not even close.
Jason Vargas, White Sox at home, Angels on the road.
Sit.
Dallas Keuchel at the Angels at the Mariners.
Good borderline start.
Drew Smyly at Cleveland, home against Texas.
Also a good borderline start.
How about Bronson Arroyo at the Cardinals and at the Mets?
Lower end bubble guy.
All right, Rafael Montero. Got two starts, Dodgers and Diamondbacks at home.
Yeah, similar reservations to Pomerantz, even more so, though, just because I don't trust the skill set quite as much. But, you know, kind of in the Salazar category of why not?
And would you guys trust any of the Feldman, Wei-Yin Chen, Odorizzi, DuBrant, Colby Lewis, Arrieta, Morales, Rienzo, Carroll group?
No, none of those. They all missed the cut. Odorizzi came the closest.
Scott, would you start Odorizzi this week? Oakland and Boston at home.
I wouldn't pick him up for the purpose of starting him, but if it was a deep enough league that he was already on my roster, I think I probably would.
Thank you, guys. It's been a lot of fun. And check out the video show live noon Eastern time. We'll talk to you then. For Scott White, now Melchior, and Adam Azer, have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday.